It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. Great to have you along. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Monday morning, the gavel will fall at the state capitol and the race to pass new bills will be on. What our lawmakers do under the Gold Dome affects everybody in Georgia. And watching it all for us this session, WABE reporters Johnny Kaufman and LEU, they are with us now. Morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
All right, let's start with really, I think, the biggest topic of discussion throughout the last few months, ever since the last session ended, really. Whether the legislature, because of pressures on hospitals and healthcare providers, is going to take up the idea of Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act, which President-elect Trump has decided he's going to scrap anyway. Johnny, do we have time for lawmakers to wait until they find out what the president-elect will do?
Well, that depends on who you ask. There are more than a million uninsured people in Georgia, and they will remain uninsured until the federal government or the state government does anything. But when it comes to expanding Medicaid here, we've heard pretty clearly from Republicans that they want to wait to do that and not do it, potentially, depending on what happens at the federal level.
But in the meantime, the reason for expanding Medicaid in the first place was it draws down federal dollars, and healthcare providers are saying, we're in trouble. So isn't there a crunch here, even as we wait to see what the administration will do at the federal level?
Right. And that's what Democrats have been arguing, that they need to expand Medicaid now, despite whatever happens at the federal level, that the state can't just wait and see that there are struggling rural hospitals, that, you know, hundreds of thousands of Georgians still fall under the coverage gap, meaning they don't qualify for Medicaid, but they also don't qualify for tax subsidies under the healthcare marketplace. But Republicans are still saying that they're going to wait and see. I mean, instead, they are going to create what they call a repeal and replace task force in the Senate to be ready for any changes that might come down from Washington, D.C.
To basically formally wait and see.
Correct.
Will there be pressure, though, on them, not just from Democrats who, let's face it, don't have the votes, but from business folks, from rural constituencies who are watching their hospitals struggle?
It's crunch time for many rural hospitals. In the meantime, some state lawmakers last year, they passed a bill that would give an incentive for businesses and individuals to donate money to these rural hospitals so that they can claim a tax credit. Critics say that's not enough, that that's just a Band-Aid on a very, very big wound.
And I would add that, you know, a lot of things determined in the state legislature are influenced by businesses, right? And in these rural areas, local governments and local businesses, chambers of commerce are concerned that if they don't have a good hospital there, not only do these provide a lot of jobs and economic stimulus for the areas, but also new businesses won't want to move somewhere where there's not somebody who can care for their employees.
So healthcare, one of the big issues to look at. Let's move to another one, of course, education. Johnny, education is the single biggest share of the state budget. There's been talk for years about changing the funding formula by which the state sends money to local schools. Is that actually going to happen after many, many years?
Governor Deal says, you know, this is his top priority for this session, and we'll hear more about that probably next week. I think there's kind of two areas where the reform's likely to come or could potentially come. One is in the way that schools are funded around the state, and the other is sort of the governance of these schools that are deemed failing by the state.
Yeah, what happens now that his quote-unquote school takeover plan was defeated at the polls in November?
Right. We don't know the details of that, and I think the governor's office will roll these out coming up here, but one proposal that's been put out there is that maybe students in these failing schools should be able to transfer to other schools. But the issue is so complicated because, you know, the needs of a school here in Atlanta that's failing versus the needs of a school in a rural area. I mean, if you're in a rural area, where are you going to transfer to? You're going to have to drive a really long way. And so those are the kind of battles we're likely to see between Republicans and Democrats in all different areas of the state.
And meanwhile, there's a big debate about hope because college costs keep going up. There's a gap now between what students on HOPE scholarships are getting and what their actual costs are, so there's the risk of losing more of them. HOPE is going to be a hot-button issue again.
It will. There was a study that came out last year that was backed by some casino groups, and we'll talk about that in a second, that basically said HOPE would be running at a deficit by 2028. And so what we've heard now is that the possibility of casinos and tax revenue from new casinos, right? We don't have casinos in Georgia right now, could help fill that gap and fund the HOPE Scholarship Program. But How much money will it actually bring in? Those kind of things are hard to know.
And state Senate leaders today said that they're looking at sort of increasing revenue from the lottery program right now. Perhaps maybe casino gambling may not even be needed is something that they're looking at.
From education, which is one of the governor's priorities, to another one which has come onto everyone's radar screen more recently, Ellie, and this one is the epidemic of opioid abuse around the state. Governor Deal is just one of the leaders coming up with a package to address that.
Right. And Senator Renee Unterman, who chairs the Senate Health and Human Services Committee, says she's working on her own set of legislative measures to tackle on substance abuse in the state. For one, she wants to actually codify what Governor Nathan Deal recently did. He ordered naloxone. That's a drug that can reverse opioid overdoses.
Yeah, kind of like an emergency fix for people who are in the middle of an overdose.
Right, and for that to be made available over the counter so that people can have easier access to those drugs. She says she's working on legislation to make that order permanent, basically put it into law. She's also wanting to track how much prescription drugs are being administered in certain areas of the state. She wants to work with the Georgia Prescription Drug Monitoring Program to track the number of opioids that are being administered to patients. She says that would help the state sort of map out where this, quote, hot spots might be in addictions or abuses, so that when a doctor does write a prescription, the state can know how much and when.
One of the things, though, that you run into is, of course, opioid addiction costs the state tremendous amounts of money. But setting up any kind of state treatment program or state help for treatment centers would be hugely expensive, too. We have a major problem here.
Mm-hmm. She has also mentioned she's working on an omnibus bill to help people with restorative treatment programs as well. So it seems like there will be a series of legislative measures that will be coming down this session.
Overshadowing all of this, of course, the Trump administration and the policies that will come out of that once he's sworn in.
Right. From everything from the Affordable Care Act to immigration to
environmental issues with executive actions that President Obama has taken during his time in office. Those could affect things here as well.
That kind of colors everything as we go into this session.
And the thing to remember, too, with that is that Georgia's state budget is just over like $23 billion, but it also draws down like $20 billion from the federal government. So those are big chunks of money. And if that's adjusted at all, it can really affect how things play out here at the state level.
WABE's Johnny Kaufman and Ellie Yu, thanks to both of you. And we'll be looking forward to hearing from you throughout the session from the Capitol. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dennis.
You, Dennis.